This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Instagram making changes when it comes to kids. Google wants to use satellites to spot fires. But first, Sean Diddy Combs, sex trafficking and racketeering.
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah, remember that video from Sean Diddy Combs? Well, he has even more to reflect on now that he's been indicted. The feds say he engaged in a persistent and pervasive pattern of abuse toward women and others. And we get more live right now from our John Baird.
And I'm outside his mansion, his Holmley Hills mansion, where federal agents sifted through about 6 months ago. They raided it, and at the same time, they were sifting through his mansion in Miami. Now, this morning, the grand jury indictment was unsealed, showing that Sean Diddy Combs was charged with sex trafficking and other things. The indictment claims that he abused, threatened, and coerced women and others around him to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct. I talked to Jessica Levinson. She's a professor at Loyola Law School. She explained why federal prosecutors took their evidence to a grand jury.
So the grand jury route in federal court, very common. You go to a grand jury to say, are you sure there's enough here? And so it's a check on the prosecutors. The grand jury looks at the evidence and says, yes, we think there's enough to go forward.
She says Combs could be looking at decades in prison if he's ultimately convicted. Combs has been sued, by the way, by a number of women over allegations of assault and sexual assault. Now, outside of court, his attorney said Combs' team knew this was coming, and this is why Combs was in New York, to surrender to authorities. He was arrested last night in the lobby of a New York hotel where he was staying. His attorney calls this an unjust prosecution.
Road rage and shooting in the Inland Empire. Police say an off-duty officer ended up shooting one of the people involved in this road rage incident in a shopping center near Murrieta Hot Springs. It was yesterday morning. Woman telling KCAL News she saw a young woman being held at gunpoint.
I heard this pop, 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 and looked, realized, yeah, a guy was holding a gun to a girl. She was standing between two white cars.
Mom says she was driving through the lot with her teenage son. He took a video on his phone.
I saw her go to the ground, and she was screaming, blood-curdling, you know, scream, saying, no, no, please, no. And I realized somebody was hurt.
The off-duty officer from Hemet shot a man several times. He's in the hospital. Critical condition detectives believe the young woman and that man who got shot were involved in some kind of road rage.
As fire crews in Southern California continue to fight the three big fires, we're looking to the future as Google is investing millions of dollars in an effort to use satellites and AI to spot smaller wildfires.
So the research group at Google was trying to find ways of using technology to help address fires and to help manage natural ecosystems.
That's the company's lead researcher. FireSat, as they call it, is expected to launch sometime next year. They say it'll utilize a cluster of satellites and infrared technology to give updated pictures of fire zones every 20 minutes. Right now, fire watchers depend on satellite images that are low resolution or only updated a few times a day.
Instagram announcing changes to help protect teens on the platform, introducing separate teen accounts for those under 18. Those who sign up starting today will be placed into an account. Those with existing ones converted over the next 60 days. New accounts are private by default. Messages restricted, so teens can only get them from people they follow or already connected to. Sensitive content of videos of people fighting, videos promoting cosmetic procedures are going to be limited. A communications director for Fair Play, a nonprofit aimed at helping protect kids, tells us this should have been done a long time ago.
These changes are things that any of these online platforms could have and should have instituted years ago, but they are now suddenly announcing it as Congress is taking action. So we have to understand that the most important thing is for policymakers to take action.
The Kids Online Safety Act being taken up this week by a House committee. It passed the Senate in July. If it's signed, requires the social media platforms to design for safety and to have that as a duty of care.
Meta is banning Russian media networks from its platforms.
Among the Russian outlets banned, RT, which the U.S. has accused of trying to influence the election by shaping public opinion. And Meta says that led to an expanded crackdown on Russian state media, meaning they'll be banned from popular apps globally. Meta has been keeping a closer eye on foreign interference efforts on its apps since the last election.
Biden administration, yes, says it's also been stepping up its own efforts to try to stop Russian influence ahead of the election.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by the loanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Former President Trump set to hold his first rally since the second assassination attempt over the weekend. Flint, Michigan this afternoon. Olivia Rinaldi has been covering the Trump campaign for CBS News, was at that rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where he was shot. She'll be at the event later today.
Hi, Olivia. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Have you covered Trump events since that rally in Butler where, you know, you were there during the assassination attempt?
I have. You know, I was back on the campaign trail about a week later with the former president, with him in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and just about every other battleground state you could think of. So got right back out there after that happened.
Any thoughts about going to this one in terms of your safety, his safety, the safety of others?
You know, I had a brief moment of pause when I landed in Michigan this morning of just realizing kind of the moment we're in, that, wow, he really just had a second assassination attempt, or what appears to be a second assassination attempt, and we're headed right back into the fray. I have full confidence and trust in police here that they're aware of all of the threats and the threat environment that we're currently existing in. And, you know, it gives you a brief pause, but we have a job to do and we keep moving forward and trying to accomplish that.
You know, you said the moment we're in. Is that just where we are now? Because it's sort of how people have been talking about it. Like, yeah, as wild as this is, it's happened twice now.
Yeah, you know, we were talking this morning with just on our editorial calls of just, you know, about this moment in particular and just the waves of political violence that we've seen in this country, you know, since its inception. You know, we think about the 1960s and the various assassination attempts and, you know, the successful assassination attempts that had happened there. And it kind of feels like we are back in another moment. I don't want to, you know, prescribe anything of saying exactly where we are politically, but certainly feels that two assassination attempts against a former president, along with rising political violence on all levels, from local to congressional to even the presidency, and even our Supreme Court justices who have seen or been the victims of political violence. It's a harrowing moment that we're in, truly.
You said you have full confidence and trust in the police and security in Michigan, but I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you probably thought or said the same thing when you were going to that rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. So do you feel better about this event?
I just, in a way, I feel everyone has to be on their best behavior is the best way to put it. I think, you know, given what we saw in Butler, of just perhaps I don't want to say relaxed, but maybe, you know, just business as usual way that perhaps they were going about it, led to a slip up that then led to, you know, coming within a quarter of an inch of the former president's life. Yeah, I think since then, I've definitely seen a lot more stricter security at these events, which I'm really grateful for. I'm reminded of what happened a few weeks ago back in Pennsylvania, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, when a protester jumped into the press pen area and he tried to get on the press riser and he was screaming at Trump and yelling at him. And just the way in which service and private, you know, private police officers who were there protecting, or security guards who were guarding press who were there, reacted just so quickly. And, you know, I'm reminded of that, and it gives me comfort, you know, heading into something today.
There was the brief call for unity after the first attempt. That is not something that happened this time.
No, in fact, it didn't. And in fact, we're already starting to see on both sides people laying blame at each other's feet about rising rhetoric. The Trump campaign saying that Biden's rhetoric and Harris's rhetoric towards them, saying that he's a threat to democracy, has, you know, increased these threats and led to some issues there. And on the other side, they say that, you know, Trump's rhetoric about threatening democracy is something that is giving them pause and making them worried. So there is no, it's hard to find that middle ground anymore, truly.
Olivia Rinaldi covering the Trump campaign for CBS News. Olivia, thanks as always.
Latest polls, by the way, of voters in Michigan show Trump and Harris nearly deadlocked, but Harris leading by 0.7 percentage points. We're going to talk about some of the plans being considered to replace the pony rides at Griffith Park, and there's a show in the skies tonight. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Driving around right now, how much are you paying attention with all those gadgets in the cars that can kind of take over for you?
The study observed drivers who used a system that helped with steering and acceleration. Author Ian Reagan finding the more comfortable drivers became, the more they were tempted to do things they shouldn't do, like texting behind the wheel.
I can look away for a little bit of time to take care of this text.
Could that create a false sense of complacency?
That is the big concern.
Reagan calling on carmakers to do more to keep drivers engaged at all times. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Car sales could get a boost if the Fed cuts interest rates tomorrow, as expected. Here's Karen Adams.
A cut in interest rates could be just what's needed to get people into a new car. At least that's what a survey by Edmunds finds.
But it's not just, you know, cars. It is houses. It is cost of living, groceries, everything. So I think any indication that things are getting more financially friendly, I think, is definitely a good sign.
Edmunds' Jessica Caldwell says their survey found that 62% of people who want to buy a car within a year will do it if they see a drop in the interest rates.
At least it's going to signal that times are going to be a little bit better financially. I think it's just been so hard for so many consumers because everything is just so expensive.
She says any change won't be immediate and adds young shoppers in their survey are more likely to base their decision on buying a new car to a Fed rate cut. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Cost of living really high. Young people hit pretty hard. And where are they going when they need financial advice? They're going on TikTok.
Wenlock likes using TikTok as a starting off point for financial advice.
It's a lot more reactive to our times versus just using traditional media.
He says he sees the merit in social media trends like soft saving, which refers to putting less money into the future and using more of it for trips and experiences now.
Your dollar doesn't mean as much. And because your dollar doesn't mean as much, I'm not going to save it.
Michael Boskin, professor of economics and senior fellow at the Stanford University Hoover Institute, says while the concept isn't wrong or even new, it must be executed with balance in mind.
And is it worth just getting in the habit of doing this all the time and getting started much later in these other saving goals and investing goals?
His advice, cross-check the information you see on social media and pay close attention to the reputability of the source, whether it be a large corporation or a smaller creator.
Shannon Golden reporting.
Rupert Murdoch and his four adult children are in Nevada, where they're scheduled to return to court today for a hearing that could decide who controls the media empire after his death.
Murdoch now wants to change his irrevocable trust and put his oldest son, Lachlan, in charge. For now, that trust says all four of the eldest Murdoch children, who have different political leanings, would have an equal vote in what happens to the business. Entertainment journalist and attorney Jonathan Handel explains why this matters.
The Fox News that we know could be completely different.
It could be completely different. It appears that it'll either be Lachlan or that it would be James and his two sisters, in which case it could be a very different Fox.
Besides Fox News, the media assets include the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post.
People disagree about what should replace the pony rides at Griffith Park. They've been gone for a couple of years. Complaints from the mistreatment of the animals by the animal rights groups. They were protesting for a long time. L.A. Parks and Rec did a public hearing yesterday talking about what could go in. Consulting firm telling NBC that results from their surveys and focus groups showing some people want the rides back. Others say maybe an outdoor climbing wall, community garden, animal rescue facility, museum dedicated to indigenous people. There's going to be a committee in the next few weeks, and then they'll give a plan to the council.
It's been 8 years since this report criticized California for poor dental care for low-income kids, and a follow-up review found, well, not too much progress. The Little Hoover Commission said that only 47% of Medi-Cal kids received an annual dental visit, went to the dentist, in 2022. Just a little increase, slight, from the 44% in 2016, but still short of the 60% target set by the lawmakers. Despite some of the improvements, including increased Medi-Cal payment rates and teledentistry, the commission and the advocates argue that the state's efforts, well, they're just not enough. Health department disagrees, says the pandemic-related setbacks and ongoing improvements, they're doing their best.
We have a super harvest moon. And not only that, we have a partial lunar eclipse. Derek Pitts, the chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, says the convergence of events only happens once every 10, maybe 15 years.
It's really better to observe a lunar eclipse without optical aids so you can see the full effect of the eclipse in the sky without a telescope or binoculars. They've reduced the field of view.
Harvest moon, full moon nearest to the autumnal equinox, 7:44 our time tonight. 20 minutes of nonstop news. Amazon announcing the corporate employees going back to the office 5 days a week. Change from the return to work policy was 3 days a week before this. It got to start in January. Are other companies going to do this too if Amazon does? We talked to Dr. Susan Vroman, senior lecturer in management at Bentley University.
Now, are you in the office now or are you working remotely?
No, I'm working remotely today. I have a fortunate job. I teach. So the days I teach there. And the days I don't, I write from home.
So you're what, 3 days a week remote?
3 days a week remote, correct.
So I'm guessing you like it and you see why others like it.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I've been working and focused on researching remote work since before the pandemic. I'm a working mother, so I have been pro flex work for a long time.
So why do you think Amazon's doing what they're doing, making everybody come back? Because they were on the 3 day, 2 day thing, and now they're saying, no, 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 it's all five.
Yeah, you know, I think I can't suppose why Amazon is doing it. I can tell you that I think there's probably three main reasons any company is going to bring folks back. Some are going to be doing it because they understand that they're getting less productivity. They may have actually done the work. They've done the due diligence to figure out that they're not seeing the results that they needed to see. Some are doing it because they feel like their morale or their culture really craves it. Sometimes sales forces that really feed off of each other. And some are going to do it because they can, because they're going to see that others have done similar things and they're going to just push it in there. And I can't tell you which of the three camps Amazon is in, but I can tell you that I'm hopeful it was one of the first two.
Is there value to being in the office 5 days a week in terms of that interpersonal communication, generating ideas, things like that?
I have to tell you, there is value in it. It's just, does it override the value of the time that people could save with not commuting and all those other elements? I mean, I just listened to your traffic report. It sounds just as fun as here in Boston. When I have to spend 2 hours in each direction getting to my office, I can imagine I could be a lot more productive. So there's comparative value, if you will. But I will say that for me, when I have a question, I love to go and talk down the hall and find somebody, vetting something out, making eye contact, just having a laugh at something that may seem audacious. There is value both in that process of vetting and also of the human connection. So it is there.
I'm interested in the number three that was on your list. It's sort of, you know, calling the bluff. What are you going to do? You're going to go someplace else, especially in the tech world now, where maybe those perks that always used to be there aren't there as much anymore. You know, the free lunches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't we have Amazon actually say that people were going to have to learn to disagree and commit? I mean, what are you going to do if the company just says this is going to happen? On the other side, though, there is the fact that talent and people, the resources that happen to be human, they will have a voice. And if things don't work out, it may come back and bite the organizations who are too hardline. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. It's probably going to be organic, and it'll have to be led maybe by some companies to lead the way for others.
Dr. Susan Vroman, senior lecturer, management, Bentley University.